Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Marketing Corner.
Yeah. We have to have a new sound every time we say that.
Yeah, we definitely need to change
it. We need a soundboard.
Raph.
Raph, make it happen.
Anyways, episode 59 coming up. And today we're going to take what we call a listener request.
Yes.
And one of the requests we've had recently is, how do you get a network when you're in a new country? How do you establish a network in a new country? I think the context is probably based around the fact that, especially in Denmark here, let's be honest, like, your network is how much you're worth. Like, how would you say? What's the saying? Like, your network, you're only worth as much as your network.
You should have practiced this.
Yeah. Anyways, but and it's especially like what I think the statistic is something like more than 50% of all jobs are done through networks that never even get posted.
Yes.
100%. So having a network, utilizing a network is super important. But what do you do when you don't actually have a network? I think that's where we're coming from. And I think you're a really good place to start, Jim, because you've tried it a few times.
A few times, yeah.
So how many countries have you been to?
Is my fourth country.
Wow.
This is my third where I wasn't a native.
Okay. Oh, that's crazy, actually.
Yeah. So America was my first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the other ones?
England, Switzerland, and now Denmark.
Okay, cool. So I'm curious, was there a difference between the countries in establishing a new network between them? So if we exclude America for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really difficult. So I think this is an important topic. It's not necessarily marketing related,
no. But
I think a lot of our listeners are expats.
Yeah.
Let's face it, immigrants. We're all immigrants. And I'm not going to get into that political debate.
It's fine, it's fine.
But yes, and I've been an immigrant longer than I've been in my native country, actually.
That's always funny when you reach that threshold,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like, that's really like a huge milestone.
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit weird.
Do you feel more Danish now than you feel something else?
No, what's really funny is because I speak Danish, but not well. But I think the fact that I'm in a non-English native speaking country, I feel more American.
Yeah.
Than I did when I was in England, for example. So yeah. So
that's kind of interesting.
It's it's a little mindfuck sometimes.
Yeah.
Because when I was in America, I don't identify as like America, but because I'm an American here, so many people, you know, in my Slack message or name, it's an American flag.
Yeah.
When people refer to me, it's an American flag. And like, now I identify as an American in Denmark more, even though I'm a dual citizen. So I have dual citizenship.
Okay. Let's talk Switzerland, let's talk UK, let's talk Denmark. What did you do when you landed in each of these countries to like try? Like, I'm curious.
Yeah, so first I want to do a shout out to Natalie Bassanisi.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I'm sorry if I said that wrong, Natalie, but she reached out asking about creating networks when you're foreign. So that's why we're talking about this. So I hope this one's for you, girl. And all the other immigrants out there.
Shout out
to all the immigrants. And you also were a study abroad student, so you've
I'll immigrants. Tell my stories in a bit.
Yeah.
Like, they're kind of funny.
I think, actually, that's Nicholas at Swap Language, I think he'd really like this, so I'll make sure we tag him in the comments. So I studied abroad in the UK. So that's kind of how I got my foot in the door at the UK, and then I didn't want to leave. I loved it.
Okay.
And so I was trying to find a job. At the time, I was what we call in the UK a sabbatical officer. So you kind of run the student unions.
Yeah.
And I was in charge of all the sports.
Yeah.
Because I was sporty. And I was looking in jobs in sports. And what I realized is, you know, to get a visa, to get a working visa, you have to have a job that no one in England can do. That's kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I get it. And I realized I was never going to get the sporty job because British people can do that.
Yeah.
But the job that I ended up getting through lots and lots of applications was helping Americans who had just arrived to study in England.
Job, right?
So it's pretty much like I wrote the book, and that's kind of how I did that.
You got a people job, right? Like that's the point, right? You got a job where you would meet and socialize a lot.
Yes, and I would be in charge of helping Americans adjust to life in the UK. So it's a pretty spot on career. But so I kind of had to build a network there because I studied abroad, so I had a network and I had friends and things like that, but I just stuck with the universities because I identified that the one thing I could bring to the table is that international experience of being an international student in a new country.
Yeah.
And international recruitment is a very, very big moneymaker for English, for British universities. And so I was like, that's going to be my thing. That's my expert area.
Makes sense though.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think, so I'm super biased because I've never done the whole the big move like you have. Mm-hmm. Like I studied abroad for 2 semesters. Like one, the first one I was in London in Hertfordshire, and Hatfield for half a year, and I was in India, New Delhi for half a year as well.
That's bonkers, man. I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But one of the things I learned, and like this, I think this goes for every country. And it's like super basic, but you know, not a lot of people might do it. I was wearing the what I call the yes hat, like, and it was just like a yes man kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would literally say yes to everything,
yeah,
like anything, yeah, whatever it is. And I have a specific example. So I was at the UK campus there at the Hatfield at Hertfordshire University. There's like sports event, like huge sport mess where you could figure out all the sports you want to do. So I was walking around and I was looking at different sports, and a guy comes up to me. And he has like this lacrosse stick in his hand and goes like, have you ever played lacrosse? I'm like, nope, but I'd love to try it. I'm like, I have no idea what it is back then. Like, and he was like, fuck it, awesome, come. And then I got to meet these guys and this joined this team, and it was amazing. I had no idea how to play lacrosse. I'm like, and I'm never gonna be a good lacrosse player. But I had a great time. And then after that, I also met a few guys playing American football. They're like, hey, do you want to play American football? Like, of course I do. Nothing
sure.
I ever wanted to do. Yeah. And I remember I showed up for practice. I had this, like, back then I was a bit larger and had longer hair. So I looked a lot like the guy from Lost. Like,
oh, yeah, Hurley.
Hurley, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I had a t-shirt that said the guy from Lost. So immediately I got known an entire team as the guy from Lost. And then suddenly everyone knew me. Like, the whole campus was like, oh, that's the guy from Lost. Like, it's Casper. It's the guy from Lost.
That's your thing.
And then that was my thing. I had to wear that t-shirt every time. But it was hilarious. I got to meet a bunch of people. And then, like, hey, it's game day. And then you got invited for the game day in the weekends. Like, you're playing the games, going to different towns, going bus trips, field trips, whatever. Mm. So sports has always been a really good way for me.
Yeah, to get in.
To get in.
I have a small addition to that because I did the same thing. And people, I remember one time there was a knock at my door. I was hungover because UK.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you play baseball, right? You're American? And I was like, softball, yeah, okay. And they're like, we need someone for cricket. Can you get ready now? And they just like took me to a cricket match. Never seen it in my life.
Yeah.
And I got up there holding the bat like a baseball. And they were like, no, you have to hold like this. I'm like, what? And like literally during the game, I'm like this, hit the ball, drop the bat and ran.
Yeah.
Which you do in baseball. You don't do that in cricket. You run with the bat. Like it was a fucking nightmare.
Exactly.
But we won. And
exactly.
I did that with rugby. I broke my nose because a girl, I was like, rugby's hard, man.
Yeah, rugby's tough. Ooh, man.
But
thank
yeah,
God.
So I think that's a really good.
I think sports is great, right?
Yeah.
But I think in general, like again, I'm not like, I can't talk too much about this, but what I'm seeing from other people, it's like going to these like events. So one of the ones we keep bringing up here that we support a lot is this like a mentor program we have here in Copenhagen. What's it called?
Marketing Connect.
That's right. Thank you. Marketing Connect. Shout out to Dahlia and
Linda.
Oh God, those.
Sorry. We're going to have to cut all of this.
Kinda, no, it's fine.
Do you want to try that again?
No. I'll stick to it. I own up to it. Yeah, that's right. And those guys are awesome.
Yeah,
like what they created is amazing, and there's a bunch of other stuff like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole community around like those Founders Day and Tech Barbecue and those things, go for it.
Yeah.
Like those events are amazing because I think Danes in general, being a Dane,
mm-hmm.
like, and I think I'm pretty bad at this. Like we have a pretty soft exterior. Like I'm like that's always what I hear about Danes in general. So now we're going a little bit specific on Danes, but. Always what I hear about Danish people is that we have a pretty soft exterior. We're like, hey, we're friendly and like, hey, nice to meet you. But our core is tough. Like, it's like our outer shell is easy to get to, but getting really close to us is really hard.
Yeah.
And actually, whenever I learned that, I was like, that's so true.
Hmm.
Like, because I'm super friendly I meet a lot of people, socialize a lot, but I have very few really good friends.
Right.
Like 5.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I have.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Facebook message.
No, but and getting to that core for people is really hard.
Really hard.
So you gotta try at least to get close to Danes, go to events, go to like these events, and try to socialize a lot as much as you can. Because I also think that the Danes that are going to these events are the Danes that are going to be the easiest to get to know.
Yeah.
Because they're already speaking English, most likely. They're already engaging with expats because, like, they're used to this.
They're used to it,
if you go to Tech Barbecue, like, no one's going to be like, you're not from Denmark. Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go to a Håndværkermessen or something, they're going to be like, hey, what the fuck is this? Right? Coming from Brøndby. So I think it makes it easier if you socialize with the people who are already adjusted to this.
And I think that brings up a good point. This is something I noticed, especially in the UK and Switzerland and Denmark, is like the social side.
Yeah.
Socializing is a big part of it. And I remember having friends who didn't drink, for example,
yeah.
and they would have a little bit of a hard time because so much of the networking, there is alcohol
yeah.
involved.
Yeah.
And that is just the nature of the beast. And
yeah. I actually hate that. I'm
yeah.
not a big fan of that.
Yeah.
I don't drink I used to drink a lot. Like not an alcoholic. It's like, you know, I used to drink a lot. But I actually don't drink that much anymore.
Mm.
And I'm at the point where I'm confident enough to not drink, so it doesn't really bother me.
Mm.
But I understand why a lot of people is super frustrated with this.
Yeah,
like it's really it's a huge pressure.
Yeah,
it's
yeah. And I think that's, I mean, so building up my network in all the different countries has come from yes, being kind of social.
Yeah.
I think also putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
My job, I got a job at FIFA. I have been applying for jobs like crazy, you know,
mm-hmm.
as you do. I moved, I was a love refugee, so I was following my partner at the time all over the world. She was working for like a big recruitment consultancy firm, so
okay.
they were moving her around. And I just was trailing, you know, like the lady waiting, like, oh, what country are we going to next? Which also in that sense, you lose your sense of self
yeah.
a lot because I had a career. I had my own stuff going on, but I was following, and then all of a sudden I lost my friends. I still have them, but I'm in a new country. I don't speak the language. I don't have a job. I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
So there's also that element of getting back your sense of self, which I
yeah.
think is really important. And you need to have that if you're going to be putting your best foot forward. So finding people, socializing, what actually worked for me when I was in Switzerland. And again, Switzerland does not have the level of English that they have in Denmark.
No, like very few countries do. Like
and,
no,
yeah.
no, like no humble brag for Denmark here, but like then Danes are insane at English.
Yes, yeah, the
like
Danes are really, really good
yeah.
and happy to speak English. The Swiss
yeah.
are not.
Yeah.
No shade to the Swiss out there, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
And I got a job at
yeah.
a pub.
Yeah.
And I found an Irish pub because I was like, can't speak German, so might as well. So I went to an Irish pub and they made me work for free one shift and I did a good job. They're like, yep, you're hired. And that's where my social circle started to expand. And that's actually how I got my job at FIFA, funny enough. So I was behind the bar pulling some pints and I heard someone go, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
And I looked up and it was one of my students from my study abroad program in England who had moved to Zurich. And I was
right?
What are the chances that he
was
a student?
I love this. This stuff happens all the time.
Yeah, man.
It's so
serendipity.
Random. I love it.
And so I'm like in this bar in Zurich looking across from a French exchange student who I had some interactions with, not a ton.
No, but
he was a nice guy. I knew him,
but
he knew me. And he was like, you speak French, right? And I was like, of course. Not great. And I was like, yeah, and you know, what's up? And he's like, well, you know, I've got this job at FIFA. You've heard of FIFA, right? And I was like, yeah, it's mentioned. Heard of it before. And he said, yeah, I've got a promotion, but I can't take the promotion until I have someone take my position.
Yeah.
Would you be open to maybe meeting with my manager? And I was like, absolutely.
I'm in.
Yep. And I had to do my interview in Spanish, German, and French.
Yeah.
And so in preparation for that, I found the Swiss people that I live with who speak pretty much all those languages with the exception of
you
Spanish.
You speak all those languages?
Define speak. So like in America, like we started a typical American, but my school is a bilingual school. So we start learning Spanish at like 9.
Okay.
And
I
then,
also
yeah.
speak French. People
exactly.
can't see my fingers. But
yeah,
I
there's fingers. There's air.
Marks.
Yeah.
I speak French.
I was able to brush up enough that I could talk about what I do, what I enjoy,
okay.
you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm not fluent by any means, but at the time I had brushed up enough on all three to be able to hold that interview in those different languages.
That's amazing.
Which was, everyone at FIFA speaks all of them. They're incredible, like, omniglots over there.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty
yeah.
cool. But that's I think that's also, like tying it back to a little bit, I want to say, of course, this is easy, super easy to say, but when you look for a job, try to look for the companies that have an international outlook, like international employees, international focus.
Mm-hmm.
Those are more open to like expats and other from without established networks. And more importantly, because this is a, so I recently, I was trying to help a company hire someone, and I was talking to this woman, and I was asking her, hey, why are you looking to get away from the place you are? It seems like a great place, you're growing, everything's good. Yeah, and she's like, yeah, but I'm the only international out of 20 people, and everybody speaks Danish all the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I want to kill these people. Whenever I have a rule at SparkForce, we did it the same at Templify, I tried it when I was in India because I was in this French group and they always spoke French around me. Mm. That's the first time I really felt it on me, where I was like, okay, I don't understand anything you're saying. And this feels really non-inclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
So after that, I swore I will never, if there's someone who doesn't speak Danish around me, I will switch to English. I don't care if we're not even talking together.
Yeah, yeah.
So we do the same
thing. Danes are really good at that, for those who don't live. Most Danes are.
Apparently not in this company, right?
And
my point is just like, if you end up in that situation, it's so rough.
Yeah.
Like, it's so tough. It must be so hard to actually create, because like, a job is such a big part of who we are and the friends we meet and the people we hang out with, especially if you're an expat. So if you're stuck at a job with only Danish people, get the fuck out of there. Like, if they don't want to talk, if they don't want to help you, like, if they don't talk English around you.
There was, when I was on maternity leave, I was approached by a well-known Danish company in the fintech space.
Yeah.
Shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
And they approached me with a Danish message, and I said, like, I can read it, but, you know, I want to start speaking English right away because I want to set the expectation that I will only be able to really be effective in English. And they're like, no problem. Here's the job description, all in Danish. And I was like, look, clearly this isn't the place for me because I do need you to do this in English. And they said, no, we're changing. You would be the first non-Dane in the whole company. And I was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I get it that you're trying to change, but if all of the material you're sending out is still in Danish, and you're reaching out to me in Danish, clearly you didn't read my profile.
Yeah, it's risky.
I think that's a really important point. And FIFA, the official language is English, but we have to work with clients in those four other languages.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But because there's people who are much better than me, I got all the native English stuff. Yeah. Because native English is easy to speak. I think it's very difficult to write well.
Yes.
Very hard to learn how to write English properly. Even most native English people get there, and there wrong.
But that's also the thing, right? Like, there's so many benefits. Like, don't get me wrong, Danes are good at English, but we're not. Like, I will never be as good as an American at writing, let's say that, or talking or speaking, whatever. Like, I'm pretty good, I think, but I'm not. I will never be as good.
Yeah,
it's just not possible.
And that can be your niche, right?
So if you come as an American, like, if you have, like, for the content we produce at SparkForce, yes, we have a bunch of Danish clients, but we're writing for them in English, like 80% or something. So you already have a leg up here, compared to the Danish candidates, because you most likely write better than they do.
And that was the interesting thing at FIFA, where I could make my niche, because we also had to take the phone. So what I did was, for those of you who follow football, you know, there's a transfer window.
Yeah.
And when the transfer window closes, all the transfers have to be done. If you miss that window, you have to wait the next one, usually 6 months.
Yeah.
And that's not great if you have a player who's looking for a job or whatever.
Yeah.
And so on that transfer window, as they're closing, you have to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And people are calling saying, your website's down, or this isn't working. You know, you have to help them get it across, because if they miss the deadline, everyone's in trouble, basically. And I couldn't take the phone most of the time, because you could get calls from Spain. I took a call from Colombia. No, sir. Could not understand a word. I took a call in French from Senegal. And I really needed to find help. So I was like, look, I'm not providing any value here, but let's swap it. I will take all the non-Spanish, German, or French speakers. So I had all of Asia, all of the Middle East. So I had a larger group of clients, more work to do, but that's how I was able to say, here's how I can help here.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then on top of that, I took over all the official writing of the newsletter. So I would write the newsletter in English, and then I would have it translated. There's a huge translation department, stuff like that.
Before ChatGPT.
You're welcome. People just literally got it. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
But that was kind of where I could provide value. So I did all the writing, and then I took over the Twitter. And this is where my marketing interest really sparked, because I could do stuff.
And it snowballed, right?
Yeah. And then I saw, hey, I can actually make things better and blah, blah, blah. And then, then the Love Refugee had to pack up the bags and head over to Denmark and move again as soon as I found my niche. And I had to do it all over again. And what I did here, again, Love Refugee, didn't have a job, didn't have any...
But at least at this point, you had some experience.
Yeah, I had more experience. And I think when you have FIFA on your CV...
Yeah, exactly. Like, it opens some doors. Yeah.
But again, everything started with who you know.
Yeah. It's always like...
Yeah. And I applied for internship jobs. I went to all the events. I went to Tech Barbecue. I went to meetups. I tried to meet people who now are in my life and in my circle and stuff like that. And it was a balance between being bold and going out on LinkedIn and saying stuff that you believe, reaching out to people saying, I love what you're doing.
Exactly. And that was like kind of like my, like one of the, my tips I would like to give to people is like when you come to a new country, new place, if you don't have LinkedIn, make a LinkedIn profile. Start connecting with the people within the companies you think you could work with, like want to work with. If you think they're cool, like look at like, okay, so I want to work in marketing. Okay, head of marketing, Copenhagen, go. Flashback. Okay, go through them. Oh, this sounds good. Connect with them. If they're up for drinking coffee, and let's just, I recently got a message that I'm planning to respond to. Hashtag I need to. But anyways, but that said, hey, I'm new to the country and I'm looking to expand a network. And like, hey, do you want to connect? I'm like, yeah, sure, I'll help you out.
Yeah, and a couple of those as well. Need to respond.
Yeah,
sorry, HM. People. God.
Anyways, my point is that's super cool. And then my trick is also whenever you get that connection, when you get someone like me to respond, actually ask me a question. Like after you've been on, hey, in contact for a while, like, hey, do you know any other cool people I should meet? Like, who else should I meet? Is there any other cool people who I think I should meet? That's a great way to get that snowball rolling.
Yep.
Because then I'll think about, like, yeah, maybe you should meet Jen. Okay, cool, I'll introduce you. And then once you have the introduction, then it's a lot easier.
And things can take off from there, absolutely. Yeah. And I would also add to that, 100% agree to that, but I think I would also add, again, putting yourself out there with ideas. Because I think one of the things that I've learned in my career is, especially in startups, they don't know what they need.
No,
so if someone is like, hey, I'm looking for a content creator, and you're like, hey, well, here's actually what I've looked at your website, I've looked at this, I've looked at that, and I think this is where I can add some value.
Yeah.
Some of the positions that I've hired were not advertised, but I met someone who applied for one position, and I was like, I think you'd be really good at this. And they're like, I'd love to do that. And it was like, let's do this.
Bang on.
So I think you have to know yourself, you have to know what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because I think now in this hiring, there's two challenges you're going to face in this climate. Is no one has nice to haves.
Yes.
It's not a thing. It's not a position. You've
got to make yourself a necessity.
You've got to make yourself a necessity. You got to say, this is what I'm going to bring to the table. And this is what 100%. I think you're needing.
Totally agree.
And that's where things can happen.
Yeah.
You're probably going to have a hard time. And I talked about with my mentee about this not too long ago. Like, it's a tough time right now for everyone. I'm not hiring right now. But if something came up, I could go, actually, that sales,
you know. I'm hiring right now, or like, I'm trying to find people. And it's like,
you said, I'm trying to fire people.
No, definitely not. it's too hard to hire, man. Like, I think you make a really, really solid point. Like, I think it's a really good point. I think it's just that I should tell everyone this, but I always told my students at United FinTech, and I do it here as well, it's like the students, like, your main goal is to make it so that I can't live without you.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It sounds so simple, but it's like, actually, the moment I can't live without you, I will go through everything to keep you around.
100%.
I will give you a raise. I will hire you full-time project. I don't give a shit. I'll keep you around.
Yeah.
But the moment I'm like, you're not that important.
For me, that's like Corona. You know, when we were working, my team of 10 went down to 2.
Yeah.
And the people who stayed were the people who I could not live without.
Yeah.
And that's
brutal.
It's super brutal and it fucking sucked. And it was the worst day that I could explain to people on air.
Yeah.
But I have a certain set of skills that I could fill this gap. But here's 2 gaps I cannot fill. And I'm sorry.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, I advise the students, like, sometimes take ownership of a project and then make that your project.
Yeah.
Like, because once you have that project, I'm like, so how did we set up this, like, integration here? Like, oh, yeah, only this guy knows. Yeah, you can't leave. Because then we're fucked. Like, we can't do this.
I hate those, like, the single person dependencies and stuff. But
Become
that person, because then you are the person.
And my point is also to tie back to, like, how to get started, volunteer for this stuff.
Yeah,
like volunteer internships, all that stuff. They have a bad rep, but as a good example, I've hired interns and made them full time. Like, hired an intern, and then that became a student, and then that person got a job full time after. And I still support him at universities. So it can be a great way to get inside.
And we also, not to divulge too much, but we had an intern student worker.
Yeah.
And the plan was always to make him full-time, and then we had a hiring freeze, so there was technically no way to make him full-time.
Yeah.
We dipped into our budget, and we're paying for his salary out of our budget.
Yeah, exactly.
We cannot live without him.
Perfect case. Case in point. And on that note.
And on that note, make yourself invaluable, but
yeah.
Be bold. I think that's the main thing. Be bold. Go out there.
Wear the yes cap.
Wear the yes cap.
As we say in Danish. Jahen.
Jahen.
We call it Jahen.
Kofusen. Kofusen. I have to mention that at least once.
Cow in the ice.
Cow in the ice. No, but be bold. Reach out to people. Most of the jobs that you're probably going to have aren't advertised.
Yes.
True. And find places you want to work and embed yourself.
And try to socialize with cool people.
And try to socialize with cool people and take us out for drinks.
Yeah.
We like
easy.
That.
Cheap.
Cheap and easy.
See you guys. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Look at that. Worked out rather well.
Yeah. We're good at rambling.
We're very good at... We're great ramblers. Poor Raphael.